All right, y'all, we are back and we have been busy and things have been crazy. I'm gonna try to get this video out to you. I am in Studio B here in an undisclosed location deep in the heart of the earth. but things have been wild and crazy and busy, and Matt got married and he'll probably be updating you on that. This video is brought to you by thetexasboys.com. Currently, we do have a full beef available. It is at our microprocessor, and I think it is finished. So if you are interested in a whole, a half, or a quarter, please send us an email. Go on over to thetexasboys.com and look for some more information. But we should have some videos trickling out here soon. We're going to get back into the swing of things and get back onto some kind of regularly scheduled program. But it has been wild and crazy, and lots of great, awesome, wonderful things are happening. We are exceedingly blessed by the Lord God of heaven, and I wanted to make this video. We had the opportunity to speak at the Be Sanctified conference, and if you missed it, it was awesome. But I wanted to share here as a resource. I had an opportunity to speak, and I spoke on fearless fatherhood, and I believe this is timely and pertinent and necessary, so I wanted to share it here. But as my experience in life has been, many times when people speak the truth and they say hard things that are abrasive, or many times you tune out, you unsubscribe or whatever, and that's totally fine. But this video should be here for a resource. And if it's not on YouTube, it should be on Odyssey and Rumble. But I wanted to share this here. And if it disturbs or bothers you, that's totally fine. But it'll always be here. So when things happen in life, and you're like, hey, I remember that crazy guy and he said this stuff and I couldn't hear it at the time or receive it, it'll be here as a resource to so that you can go back to that. And, you know, it should be there. So, but I wanted to try to get this out today, and it's why I'm in Studio B. And hopefully this will be one video is what I'm hoping. But I had the opportunity to speak on fearless fatherhood, and I wanted to open by quoting Joshua 24, 14 and 15. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods of your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Sincerity is nothing without truth. Many are sincerely wrong. Many very sincere people will be cast into hell. Put away the gods of your fathers. Now, hey, we live in America. Our gods are of the sanitized variety. Sports and Hollywood stars, political messiahs. Every election in my lifetime has been an existential threat to democracy. This most recent election has been very much the same as all the other previous elections, an existential threat to democracy. The gods of our bellies, like that of the Epicureans. Our Colosseums here in America aren't those where Christians are slaughtered for sport and entertainment. Not yet, anyway. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. We live in a post-modern, post-truth, post-food world, thanks to science, thanks to things like German rationalism, higher and lower criticism. These are underlying to modern textual criticism, critical theory, and now critical race theory. Scholars taught us that thee and thou are hard to understand. And so now we have 73 pronouns. Something to think about. Numbers 13, 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search out the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one, a ruler among them. Don't send a woman to do a man's job. Now, if you are of the egalitarian or complementarian position, what I'm saying is very confusing and abrasive to you. You have been deconstructed. And that's just the truth. Numbers 13:3 says, and Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. These weren't just any men. These were the leaders of their tribes, the cream of the crop, the producers, the movers and shakers, the powerful and influential. And Numbers 13, 4 through 16 goes through the lineages of the heads of these tribes. And we see here in, I want to point out that here in the lineages of these 12 men, we see two specifically. These were their names of the tribe of Reuben, Shemuel of the son of Zachor, of the tribe of Simeon, Shaphat, the son of Hori, of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, in verse 6. And then in verse 16, these are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. Joshua or Jehoshua means Jehovah saves. It's very interesting how this passage right there at the end gives this insertion here in a very, in almost like a passing way about Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. And Joshua means Jehovah saves. Not Yahweh saves. Yahweh is a postmodern deconstruction invented by Wilhelm Gesenius in 1833, a theologian that polluted theology with German rationalism. And then it was proliferated by Alexander McWhorter III in 1857. Prior to 1833, Yahweh as a construct and concept did not exist. This is a postmodern reconstruction. And that's a rabbit trail that you can study in your spare time if you're interested. Most people aren't interested. Most people will just regurgitate the popular vernacular of the day. Once again, that's how we end up with 73 pronouns. Secondarily, I wanted to point out in this passage, Caleb. And interesting thing about the name Caleb, Caleb in Hebrew means barking dog or bark like a dog. And I will get back to that briefly here as we move forward. Numbers 13, 17 says, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and he said unto them, Get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring forth the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. It just so happened coincidentally, by God's care and providence, that the time they were spying out the land was the time of the first ripe grapes. And God said, go up and see what this land is all about, if it's any good. Now, did God not already know of the good of the land? Did God not already know of the size of the people and where they dwelt and how they dwelt? Of course. But the beauty of life is that God wants us to experience that for ourselves. And God told them to take the land, and God was already thoroughly familiar with the land, who dwelt there, what the good of the land was, and all these different things. But the test and the trial was for these influential leaders to go and experience that. So they went up and they searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men cometh to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. And the children of Anak, for those of you that aren't familiar, were the descendants of the giants. These were giant men. And this isn't like a euphemism. This isn't like a reference to just their strength. These were giant men. These were men of unnatural origin, which is how their size can be explained. And if you study out the giants, there's lots of interesting stuff. You know, red hair, six fingers, six toes, these different mutations. They were flesh eaters, wild, crazy, super, ultra, mega, pagan, crazy giants, incredibly strong. Leaders must follow. Moses told them where to go and how to go. He commanded them to go the hard way. But if you climb the mountain, you will have the proper perspective. And sometimes the perspective is gained in the climbing as much as the view. And many times we have to climb to develop the strength and the fortitude and the literal and figurative muscles to do and to perform and to overcome and to be. God had already promised them the land. The recon mission was a test. And even within the trial, temporal blessings and proof of abundant provision is evident. And as men and leaders, we will have many tests, trials, and tribulations to test our mettle and our fortitude. We must stand in the gap, putting on the whole armor of God to stand in that evil day, and having done all to stand. Have you done all to stand? Or have you caved, cratered, weakened, compromised? 1325, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely It floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb, remember Caleb? Remember when I told you that Caleb meant barking dog? In verse 30 it says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Caleb spoke up. Caleb spoke out. Caleb spoke truth. And Caleb stood by what he said. Caleb stood on the promises of God. Caleb stood alone in the sense that he stood with Joshua, but he was the one to speak up. Caleb said the hard things out loud. Not only must we as fathers say the hard things that need to be said, you must be doing and ready and willing to do the hard things. In contrast to the dogs, we see in Isaiah 56:10, when I think of that barking dog, this verse always comes to mind. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. Nothing is more illustrative of our modern day leadership in Christianity, of these dumb dogs that cannot bark, whether they're woke, postmodern, inclusive, egalitarian, complementarian, effeminate, or whether they are asleep, or whether they're just obese and they have no discipline to control their own mouth or their own elbow as they stuff their face. And they cannot bark. They will not warn. They cannot understand. They can't see what's going on. They can't warn. Fathers can't warn their families. That barking dog, that junkyard dog, that Great Pyrenees that is there, that is designed, if they just bark and warn, to wake you from your sleep. The most amazing and beautiful thing about that is the preventative nature of the bark many times will prevent conflict and altercation. If there's just the warning and the bark and the steering, it will prevent bloodshed and conflict. But the watchmen are blind. They're ignorant. They cannot bark. They're sleeping. They're lying down to slumber. They're eating. They all look to their own way. Everyone for his gain from his quarters. As fathers, we must study and stand on the word alone. We must resist and renounce all those that attempt to take the scriptures from us one word at a time, like the force of erosion over millennia, over hundreds of years. Not a deconstructed word brought to us by philological critics of the text, but a word that was preserved for us through all ages by God's singular care and providence. But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof." What do you mean it eats up the inhabitants? It's occupied. These people are not only occupying the land, they're thriving and they're in great walled cities. What inhabitants are being eaten up? And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so were we in their sight. So these men weren't just saying that these giants saw themselves as grasshoppers. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. And they completely ignored the providence and power of God that God had already given and commanded them to take the land. Weak, sad, soft, effeminate leadership with no recognition of God or their own God-designed, given, and masculinity. No recognition of God's promise to giving them the land. Here's our modern democracy on display. Our constitutional republic has been dead since the war of Northern aggression. And even in our current day, if you just want to look at Thomas DiLorenzo's work on Abraham Lincoln, the fascist, and just look at terrorists, and all these things are in the news, right? Well, just read a little bit about Lincoln and his terrorists and his fascism, and he is just the modern day Republican, and he is so great, and we have a beautiful monument of fascism of the great and mighty powerful Lincoln God in the District of Criminals, Washington, D.C. 2 million Israelites were delivered from Egypt. Out of those 2 million, only 12 saw the promised land. Of those 12, only 2 entered. 2 true and 10 false witnesses. I tell our family all the time, observe the masses and do the opposite. I think we even have a t-shirt that says that. And here's why. Observe the masses and do the opposite. Remember, there is always a remnant. And more importantly, there is only a remnant. Only 2 tribes retained their elder leadership. Leadership requires wisdom. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord," that word Lord there is Jehovah. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Deuteronomy 1:35-36 says, "Surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord." Caleb wholly followed the Lord. You cannot wholly follow the Lord without the desire to be holy. Side note, how many women were sent to spy out the land? Ezekiel 44:23. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And in controversy, they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgments. And they shall keep my laws and my statutes and all mine assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths. 1 Peter 1:15-16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. We are to be holy in all manner of conversation, in every part of our conversation. Yes, that conversation in our modern vernacular are the words that we speak. But that conversation in a broader, larger, older context means our entire way of life and being and lifestyle, in all manner of conversation. So it's what we wear, it's how we talk, it's how we look, it's what we do, it's what we say, it's how we manage our money, it's how we treat others, it's how we love our neighbor, it's how we do business, it's how we interact with the brethren. It's all in all manner of conversation. We cannot compartmentalize our Christianity to some theoretical state, to some philosophical region in our mind. We must practice, study, practice, and teach. It has to be practical. It has to be lived out every day. Numbers 14:6-9. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched out the land, rent their clothes. And in modern day, you know, we're so accustomed to closets and dressers full of clothing, and we don't really even understand. We have so much abundance and excess through hyper-consumerism. We don't even fathom the fact. This wasn't like Hulk Hogan ripping off his shirt at the Republican National Convention, right? When these men rent their clothes, clothing was handmade and hand-spun. Clothing was incredibly expensive. Clothing was a very expensive asset, and these men rent their clothes as a sign of despair and disgust. They rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it, it is an exceeding good land. And if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Caleb said, they are bread for us. Satan is a roaring lion. He roameth about, seeking whom he may devour. Satan doesn't want to bite you. Satan doesn't want to maul you. Satan wants to chew you up and defecate you out. Satan doesn't want to just make you ineffective. Satan wants to completely destroy you. Here, Caleb is saying, our enemies will be our food, our bread, our sustenance, and by destroying them, it will sustain us. Not only did Caleb not fear the giants, He didn't fear his own people and countrymen.